Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
It's making babies time. And today we are talking about post-birth recovery. And Professor Shane Higgins, consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital, has joined me. Good afternoon to you, Shane.
Good afternoon, Anna.
You're not allowed to enter that competition. I saw you trying to text there.
Had the answer.
You're too close to the situation.
I think.
No, don't be giving anything away. This is a very interesting one because surely it's very case by case depending on the person and the, you know, the pregnancy
is.
And everything else.
Absolutely. And some people will bounce back and some people will take longer. I suppose one way of approaching it is that, you know, often this time of the post-birth period is referred to as the fourth trimester. So it's that 6 weeks immediately following the birth of the baby. And whether you've had a cesarean section or a vaginal birth, and if a vaginal birth, an instrumental delivery, the recovery is should largely follow the same lines. But there are things that can arise, complications that can arise, and really that's what patients should be looking out for. You're right, the recovery will vary from one person to the next, but it's if you're having problems with it. And I think it's very important that patients appreciate that for that 6 weeks, there are still things that can arise that you should bring to the attention of your healthcare providers.
And Shane, would it be fair to say, and I'm just talking about my own kind of lived experience, you can have great plans and great expectations, but actually reality kicks in.
Absolutely.
When you take especially your first baby.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. And again, as I said, it will vary from patient to patient, but it is. I mean, there's an awful lot. And I was going to kind of break it down according to kind of organ systems, but mental health is a very, very important one. I think it's, you can never kind of appreciate how many patients will experience mental health issues. You know, there's so many changes taking place, the hormonal changes that take place after birth, the discomfort that the patient might find themselves in, whether they've had an episiotomy or a tear or a cesarean section scar, or just the post-birth pains that you're experiencing, the fact that you're breastfeeding, your sleep disturbances all over the shop, you're not eating well. So, you know, the baby blues that people refer to are very common, and patients might find that their mood is low, that they're teary, that they're not eating, they don't have an appetite, they're fatigued. That's fine. And that's almost part and parcel of that post-birth period. But if those symptoms go on for more than 2 weeks, that's when you should start considering. That's when you should go and see your healthcare provider to ensure that you're not going down a more difficult, perhaps, recovery route.
Mm-hmm. And getting ahead of anything that might be about
absolutely.
To arise.
Absolutely.
Can I ask you, Shane, what changes can you expect to see in your body post-birth?
Okay, well, if you're breastfeeding, your breasts are going to become engorged, and as the milk is coming in and as you breastfeed. And the risk there is that you develop mastitis, which is an inflammatory / infective process where you get a really swollen, painful, red, tender area in your breast. And again, it's very important that you go and see your midwives or your doctors that are looking after you so that you can get on an antibiotic. It doesn't preclude you from continuing to breastfeed, but it's important that you get treated because it can be a very...
It's incredibly painful as well.
At the very least, very painful, but also it's an infection in your breast and it's something that needs to be treated. So your breasts are going to enlarge and milk as the milk comes in. Your tummy is still going to be quite swollen because the uterus doesn't disappear overnight. It takes weeks for that to recover to its original size. So your tummy will be still swollen and it will go down over the course of the 6 weeks after birth. You will have bleeding, vaginal bleeding called lochia. That should diminish over that period of time and to the point where you come back at 6 weeks. And for most women, they will have stopped bleeding by that point in time. The swelling that most women will experience during the course of pregnancy, that takes weeks for that to disappear. And patients should continue to try and elevate their legs during the day or at nighttime or periodically during the day. If you're resting, feeding the baby, it's an opportunity to help that swelling come down. But again, looking out for any features of a deep vein thrombosis that might arise, rare enough, but does happen. So you're looking out for the cardinal features, redness, pain, swelling, temperature, and an inability to weight bear. And if you have any of those features, again, you should go and see your healthcare provider.
Yeah, and you've touched on the deep vein thrombosis there. Is there anything else that we should be looking out for that isn't normal?
Yeah, I suppose from the point of view of your uterus and perineum. So if you've had an episiotomy or a tear, you should see the pain and the discomfort associated with that diminish. You might be taking non-steroidal anti-inflammatories like Ponstan, Brufen, Diphene. But you should see that discomfort settle. If you suddenly see an increase in the pain that you're experiencing in association with the perineum and the perineal injury, if you feel it's becoming more swollen, if you have a look at it with a mirror and you see that it's becoming quite red and inflamed looking, that might be an infection of your episiotomy or tear, and you need to get that treated. If you suddenly see an increase in the quantum of blood that you're losing, if you're suddenly going from, you know, blood loss that's diminishing almost on a daily basis to suddenly seeing a significant increase, again, you might have retained tissue, you might have an infection in the lining of your uterus, which can both present with increased bleeding after the birth. And you should go and have that seen.
Okay,
as well.
Go with your gut, I think.
Absolutely. If you have any
concerns
at all.
You know yourself, don't you?
For that 6 weeks after the birth, leaving aside all the things that are happening with the newborn baby, but with regards to mum herself, if you feel things aren't going in the right direction, or if you feel you've turned backwards in terms of your recovery, you should go and have it seen.
Okay, yeah, don't hesitate. Let me go to some of the questions popping up on the screen, Shane. Can you ask Shane, I'm due to have my first baby in July. I'm terrified I will have a tear. If so, how painful is it and what's the average recovery time? Well, okay, is that a big fear amongst new mums?
It is a risk. If you look at the percentage of women who have either an episiotomy or a first or second degree tear, it's quite significant. You can help yourself, first of all, by doing one of two things. You can do what's called perineal massage, where you just stretch the perineum from about 36, 37 weeks onwards. What you're trying to exercise the tissues, or soften or strengthen or stretch the tissue, so that when the head comes through, there's more space for it and the tissues are more compliant. And the second thing is you can buy a ball, an inflatable ball that you put into the vagina, you inflate it and you practice the delivery of that ball, and then you put it back at a later time, inflate it a little bit further, so that you're again practicing that delivering of the baby's head. Tears heal better than episiotomies because the tear takes place along natural planes of cleavage, which means it heals better. And for the most part, we'll allow patients to tear. It's not that we'll allow, we'd prefer patients to tear than to have an episiotomy. But if we feel that the tissues are so rigid that they're preventing the delivery of the baby's head, or that the patient may experience quite a significant bad tear, like a third or fourth degree tear, then the recommendation would be to make an episiotomy. But you're better off to have a tear than an epis, and that would be the preference of your caregivers. And again, it takes about 2 to 4 weeks for that to heal.
Okay,
well.
Just give us a quick definition of the difference between the tear and the episiotomy, Shane.
So an episiotomy just happens as the head is coming, as the head is crowning, the tear happens. An episiotomy is made with an episiotomy scissors. So it's a deliberate incisional tear or cut using a scissors to try and increase the outlet of the vagina.
Okay.
So that the baby's head passes through. Particularly if you're concerned about the baby, that the fetal heart rate trace might be abnormal, or you feel that it's just so rigid that if it does go, it's going to be a bad tear. So that's something that'll be made by the obstetrician or the midwife with the scissors, whereas a tear just happens naturally.
Okay. I'm having a planned C-section, one of these texts say, on my first baby in 3 weeks' time. I'm very worried about not being able to hold my baby in the hospital after the delivery. How much help will I need postpartum, and should my partner take added time off work to help me?
No, so I mean, I think, again, I'm generalizing when I say this. For the most part, women will be able to look after their babies on day one of life. So we have introduced a new concept in the hospital called enhanced recovery after cesarean, and it's the anaesthetic department that have introduced this at the National Maternity Hospital, whereby we're encouraging women to drink overnight prior to an elective cesarean section. We're encouraging them to take apple juice the morning of their cesarean section, and this all helps them in the immediate post cesarean section period to mobilize, to get their catheter out, to get up and showered. And now we're seeing patients who have their cesarean section in the morning. They're up and showered and catheter out by the late evening. So they're looking after their own babies. And that's the amazing thing about this, is that women are able to do that. So most of our cesarean sections are undertaken under a spinal anaesthetic, which means you're not asleep. And once the effect of the anaesthetic wears off, in the 2 or 3 hours after the birth of the baby, you're then planning to get the patients out of bed, up and about, something to eat, showered, ready to go. But almost all the patients that I've looked after will be able to look after their baby, certainly on day two, so the day after the birth, and will be fairly mobile, looking after the baby independently by the time they go home on day five.
Okay.
So your partner doesn't, look, it's nice for the partner to be in and out, and they can come in and out at any time of the day or night, or day, evening. So yeah, they'll probably take some time off, but is there an imperative that they're there all day? No.
No, okay. A lot of questions, and the general theme being how long bleeding lasts after pregnancy. I know you touched on it. Inner around 6 weeks is normal,
isn't
it?
Most people will have the bleeding will have completely settled and stopped by the time they come back for a 6 week check. So that's kind of a good benchmark, 6 weeks. Some will have virtually no bleeding and it'll stop within a week or two. Some will still be, but it's the fact that you see it diminishing almost on every 2 or 3 days, you're seeing less and less and less. And you know then you're going in the right direction. I suppose the other thing just to mention is that if you are breastfeeding, it isn't a contraceptive. You should never consider it to be a contraceptive. So if you are returning to sexual activity, you need to find some form of contraception that suits you.
And you're more fertile afterwards, are you?
You are, indeed.
Yes. We're out of time, Shane. Well, there's never enough time to get through all of these questions. Professor Shane Higgins, a pleasure as always.
Thank you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.